Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are at the end of chapter 8, and if you'll remember, Moses had been reminding the Israelites that they received supernatural provisions while they were in the wilderness for those 40 years. And he also reminded them that they went through some trials during that their period in the wilderness, but there was a purpose for those trials. It was to test them, to humble them, to see what was in their heart. And remember the last time we were together, we talked about the heart and the importance of knowing what's in the heart. And Moses reminded them in verse 17, don't say in your heart that it was your power or your might that brought you the wealth. Because he told them, when you get into this promised land and you start multiplying, your flocks multiply, your herds multiply, your silver and your gold is multiplied, all that you have is multiplied. Don't say in your heart it was what you did. And in verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers as this day.
We need to look closely at that. Go all the way back to Abraham. So this is a covenant that God had made all the way back to Genesis 12, actually. And so what he's telling them is your ability to get wealth is for the purpose of me keeping that covenant that I made with Abraham. I made this promise. I made this covenant to Abraham. And so the reason that you have the ability to get wealth is not because of who you are, your great abilities and that type thing, but it's because I've given you this ability so I could establish that covenant that I made with your forefathers. Now, a lot of your, prosperity teachers want to pull this out of context. And I believe in prosperity. I believe God wants us to prosper. But I don't believe that we manipulate God in any way, form, or fashion. And so if we're blessed, it's so the Lord is establishing his promise, his covenant, whatever. And that not only that does that apply to Abraham and his descendants, but you think about Jesus being the ultimate descendant of Abraham and how God has renewed a covenant. He has cut covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I are not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. And our unification with Jesus Christ causes us to become heirs of the promise or joint heirs of the inheritance that God has given to Jesus. And so our blessing is a direct result of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? The covenant is made with Jesus. We become one with Jesus, so we benefit. We become recipients of that covenant through our unity. Okay? God does this. It's not our ability. It's our faith in God. And in reality, that's the way it was with the Israelites. It's their faith in God that would cause them to overcome the enemy. You're seeing opposition that's stronger than you, greater than you, but through God's ability working through you, you overcome those obstacles, those strongholds, those giants, or whatever. That same thing holds true with us. So what's the purpose of that? To make you rich or to establish God's covenant? And so we're not to be pursuing wealth. We're to be pursuing Jesus and then let the blessings come as they may, but keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm concerned with people who have their attention on possessions and not on Jesus. You follow me? We're to not be looking at things naturally. We're to be looking at things spiritually. And so understand that our kingdom is not of this world. But yet, people, you would think that they're going to live forever in this world. And that's not the way that God has this thing set up. So we're not to be putting our attention on what we can accumulate in this world. He tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven. Right? That would be spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless you naturally. But get it inside. The world, the natural, is not a God to you. You're always worshiping God on the inside, and God takes care of the house that you're living in. But don't put your attention on the house. Put your attention on the occupant. And the occupant in the occupant. Jesus in us. Christ in us. Our hope of glory.
The other thing that I see in here is just so simple. But it's just it's a reminder. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that we have is because it's been given to us. I think we talked about this last session, last time we were together. Even your ability to work and earn money is because God enables you to do so. And so I look at this as a, let's keep it in perspective. This isn't about you. Everything is not about us. This world does not revolve around me, nor does it revolve around you. Revolves around Jesus Christ, King of Kings.
God owes us nothing, but He wants to lavish His love on us. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye destroy, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God.
Doesn't it amaze you how many times the Israelites have to be reminded that God is their God? Yet all these supernatural things that have occurred, you would think would be reminders, but they aren't. How quickly you can turn from a God who supernaturally delivered you to gods all around you. And you see people do it all the time in this life. And so Moses is just telling them, do not forget the Lord God and start following other gods. For there's only one God, one true God. And that's Jehovah God, the Creator God. And our access to our Father God is through Jesus. You have no access to God except through Jesus. And so we have to believe in Him. And so our worship is to be to God, not to religion. Religion becomes a god in people's lives. They worship the religion. They don't worship God. They worship a denomination. They don't worship God. They talk about God, but it's really the denomination. I was born this and I'll die that. Then that's what you're worshiping. I was born a sinner, but I'm not planning on dying one. You understand? We keep our eyes on the Lord and we serve and worship Him. He said, if you don't, you're going to perish in this land. The land that I gave to bless you, you'll die in it. If you start following the gods of the land, he says, The Lord who saved them from Egypt and brought them into this land is the same Lord who would destroy them out of that land if they disobeyed God. You understand? God has selected them to be different. God has selected the church, the body of Christ, and Israel is a shadow of that, a type. He selected us to be different. We're not to blend with the world. We're not to think like the world. We're to keep our focus on the Lord, and you can't keep your focus on the Lord and get distracted with the things of the world. You're not going to be holding hands with both. It's a choice that we have to make. And Moses is bringing these people to this choice. You've got to choose. As a matter of fact, he tells them that. And Joshua really reiterates that at the end of his life. You choose. Well, we all choose. I was just talking with someone very recently. I'll just leave it at that. And there's a country song. No, I don't listen to all that, but I used to listen to it all the time, okay? And I still remember stuff. But there's a song that says, I'm living and dying by the choices I made. And there's a powerful truth in that. We live and die by the choices we make. And so that's why we should be making wise choices to where we have prepared to meet our Maker, you understand. Don't forget your God. This is what he's telling them, basically all the way through Deuteronomy. Don't forget God. Don't forget the Word of God. Obey God. Don't look at other gods. Don't look at other people. Keep your eyes on God. God wants this covenant established not only in your forefathers, he wants it established in you. And actually, they entered into a covenant with God at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. They entered into a covenant with God. Remember, Moses took the book, sprinkled the book and the people with blood, the covenant. God's covenant with the people's covenant with God. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. When you're born again, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're saying, I'm giving up this life to follow you. It's a covenant agreement. It's called New Covenant, isn't it? Well, we have to keep our minds fixed on this New Covenant.
The principle is simple. With obedience comes blessing. Just chisel it in stone. But we also have the choice to disobey. If we choose disobedience, we ultimately choose our own destruction. It's one or the other. We all have the same choice today. The Israelites had this choice. We have the same choice. Obedience, blessing. We don't even have to pursue the blessing. The blessings will pursue us. Disobedience, there comes a curse. We know ultimately, under this new covenant that we're operating under, it'll be to our destruction.
We're going to see that when we get to Deuteronomy 28, because that's exactly what that chapter is all about. Obedience, disobedience. Blessing, curse. It's a choice. And only you can make the choice. No one else can make it for you. I choose whether I serve God. My mama, if she could have, she would have made us. And she tried to. You understand? But the bottom line is, we have to make the choice. We have to make it personal, individual. This is a nation he's talking to, but a nation is made up of individual people. We can say the United States of America, but who is the United States of America? We're not talking about just property. We're talking about population. We're talking about people. And as the people go, that's the way the country's going to go. If the people walk in the blessing, the country's blessed, right? So you and I have responsibility, don't we? We have to keep our eyes on the Lord.
How many times have we read over and over and over again, take heed, pay attention to the commandments, the statutes, the judgments of God. What he's saying is pay attention to the Word of God. Time and time again, listen to the Word. Know the Word. Don't depart from the Word. Is that a relevant admonishment for us today? Of course it is. We need to read this Word every day. Not that we memorize it for the sake of repeating it, but let's get it in our hearts so we live it. That's where the blessing is. Chapter 9 reveals that the Israelites did not inherit the promised land because of their goodness. Boy, there's a message somebody could preach on that right there. What we inherit doesn't have anything to do because of our goodness, our righteousness. The salvation we have has nothing to do with our works, but everything to do with the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Why? If it were by our works, lest we should boast. Here again, it's not about us. To me, Moses is just going to remind the people, it's not about you. Not your righteousness, not your goodness, not anything you do, but because our God, the one and true living God, chose you, loves you. Now, Moses also reminds them of their stubbornness and rebellion. Boy, stiff-necked people. His intercession and God's mercy. Verses 1 and 2. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day. You're right here. We're right here. We're getting ready to go in. You're going to choose whether or not you're going in. I told Romaine and I were upstairs. They're right in the valley of decision. Are they going to choose to believe the Word of God that He said He would go with them, He would go before them, He would fight for them? Or are they going to look at the circumstances? These great cities, these walled cities, now these people he's talking about, the Anakims, they're great and tall. Are they going to believe those people are too big? Are they going to believe the Word of God? So thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in and possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. Fenced up to heaven, do you have a visual of that? These things are tall. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?
This interests me in that he's telling them, now, when you cross over Jordan, number one, this is your mission. Dispossess the enemy. There are nations that are greater than you. Isn't that a pep talk? You're going to go over here and these nations are greater than you. They're mightier than you. Their walls are high. Anakims, reputation, great, tall, giants. You've heard about it. And you've heard them say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Now here's what you have to do. Keep your eyes on this word, dispossess. Don't focus on walled cities. Don't focus on tall people. Focus on dispossessed. So often we want to focus on a problem rather than focus on the solution. What has He told us to do? That's what should get our undivided attention. And if He's told us to do it, He'll give us the strategy to do it. But if all I can see is how big my problem is, my God will be small. And so you have to ask yourself, how big is my God? And then you remind yourself, He created everything I see. He's so big, He created this world. He created what's in this world. Even these giants. My God's bigger than those giants. And my God has given me a mandate. Kick them out of the land. So I'm going to go kick them out of the land. You understand? You've got to have that type concept. You can't go against the enemy and win with a defeatist attitude. You have to think victory, not defeat. You don't look at size. You look at your mission and fulfill the mission that God's given you. And this is basically what Moses is saying. I'm not going to lie to you. When you get over there, you've already seen, well, the guys that saw it died. But they saw, there's giants over there. I'm not lying to you. There's fortified cities over there. I'm not lying to you. God knew that when He gave the land. And God knew that when He said, kick them out of the land. God knew that. Now He's given you a mandate. Go in and do it. Just do it. Have you seen the bumper sticker? Just do it. And basically that's what He's telling them. You know, so often religion will paint you a picture like, you know, it's a bed of roses out here. And that's not true. Persecution comes because of the word. So when God gives you a word, don't think there won't be opposition against that word. But God is greater than the opposition. His word is greater. God will not tell you to do something He will not empower you to do. And that's what Moses is telling them, basically. We have power. We just need to tap into what's already there instead of trying to get something on the scene. I've had people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit ask me to pray for them to have more power. I said, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? How much more power do you want? And where's it going to come from? You receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, right? Recognize what you have instead of looking at wanting something else. Recognize what's already in you. Yeah, it's amazing. When you're born, you're equipped with abilities peculiar to the purpose that God has ordained. But they have to be developed. And you develop through exercise, which will bring you experience. And the more you use what you have, the more experience you get, the more developed you become. Then with that development comes a confidence in your God. And believers need to get a confidence in God instead of looking out here.
I think it's very interesting that Moses said to the Israelites, in essence, you've heard it said, you've heard the rumor from man, who can stand before the children of Anak? But we're going to see in verse 3 what the Lord said. And so we face these battles every day too. Are we going to listen to the report of man? Are we going to listen and hold on to the report of the doctor, the diagnosis? Are we going to listen to the Word of God? Where are we going to put our trust? You think about if the Israelites had just looked at the size of these people, and if they didn't have leaders like Joshua, like Caleb, it would be easy to forget the Word of God. We have a lot of born-again believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are forgetting to hang on to the Word of God. Instead, they're hanging on to man's word, the report of the word, the world, the doctor's report, the negative report from work, the rumors. Where's our attention? Look what he says in verse 3, what Moses said. Here's what God said. Understand, therefore, this day that the Lord your God is He which goes over before you. As a consuming fire, He shall destroy them, and He shall bring them down before your face. So shall you drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto you. That's what the Lord says. Here's what's going to happen.
You know, a good picture of this is found in David and Saul. Here's Goliath. Saul's the king. Saul has his army. Goliath is the champion of the Philistines, huge giant. What's the difference between Saul and his men of valor and David? It's how they're looking. Saul and his army are looking at this naturally, and it scares them. David sees the same giant. He hears the same boast. Now, he's not armed except with what he's proven, which is not a battle weapon. You understand? But he is so confident in God. And see, here's what he says to Goliath. You come to me with sword and shield, or spear. I've come to you in the name of the Lord. So David is looking at this from God's perspective. Saul's looking at it from man's perspective. If Saul would have got his attention on God instead of on the natural, Saul could have killed the giant, you understand? Saul's hearing him defy his army. David is hearing Goliath defy God's army. How dare you speak against the armies of the Lord? You with me? And he took the most unorthodox weapon that you can imagine to go against the giant. But what was the happened? God was with him. I believe God guided that stone right into the forehead of that giant, you understand? And took him down. You with me? Our God goes before us. It's amazing that God would exercise more faith in you than you'll exercise in God. God has chosen the church, the body of Christ, to represent Him in earth and to carry on the ministry of Jesus. Now, He has faith that that's going to be accomplished. But which generation is going to do it? The choice is ours. Will I do it? Or will I wait for somebody else to do it? See, the problem is, we want somebody else. Send them out there. You understand? Let them test the waters. Let them get the brunt of it. You follow me? And yet God has put His faith in us to where we represent Him and get His kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. I can pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, but I have to cooperate in order for that to occur. If I want His kingdom to come on earth, His kingdom has to come in me. It has to come in people. God's kingdom established on earth is in the hearts of people. Not in some capital building or something like that. It's not in organization, it's in people that are sold out to God and believe that God will consume the enemy if we'll just go out there. He's going to go before me. This is what Moses is saying to them. God's going not in front of you. God's walking point. You understand? He's going to be the one that makes that initial contact with the enemy. I'll go out there before you. You drive them out. You drive them out. I think about, there's so many things going right now. I think about David going against the Philistines. And, you know, he goes in the valley there, and he says to the Lord, should I go against them? The Philistines have come out against me. Should I go against them? God said, go ahead. He defeats them. They come back to the same place. He doesn't assume. He asks God again, do I go up against them? God said, don't do it. Don't do it like you did the last time. You go up, and the King James Version uses the word mulberry trees. You wait till you hear the sound of the marching in the mulberry trees. What is that? You wait for my army to go before you. And when you hear that sound of the marching in the trees, you'll know I've gone out ahead of you. Now, you understand that's the essence of it. Now, when my army goes out, you fall in behind them. And then you do what? You take care of business. You understand? They're going to handle it in the spirit world. You handle it in the natural world. You follow me? And so that's the scenario here. God goes out before us, not just for us. You follow me? There's something that we have to do. God's given them the land, but they have to take it. God's given us the land, but we have to take it. And the enemy is a squatter. He don't want to leave. So you have to drive him out.
Good. Verse 4. Speak not thou in thy heart, after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of those nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people.
Boy, he's reiterating, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's driving this point home. God is not giving you this land because you deserve it.
Right.
It's not for your righteousness. God has not saved us from sin because we deserved it. Not because of our righteousness. We needed righteousness, okay? And so he says he's driving out these people because of their wickedness. You're not entering the land because of your righteousness. They're being driven out because they're so wicked. They're more wicked than you. So you drive them out of the land. And he said, I promised your forefathers that I was giving them this land. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And so he says, not for your righteousness. As a matter of fact, you are a stubborn people. Isn't that something? You're a stubborn people. God hasn't given up on them, even though they're a stubborn people. Well, we don't want to be accused of being stubborn before God, do we? Of course not. What caused them to get that reputation? They refused to obey God. They wouldn't do things God's way. If you don't do things God's way, I'm going to tell you what Moses said to them. You're stubborn. Whether it's you, me, or anybody else, we have to learn to do things God's way. Amen. Our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. We'll pick back up this after the break.